SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to SXM online and at our website, stevebick.com. Monday, fourth day of Saratoga. First weekend of action here across the country. They wrapped up at Del Mar their five-day start to the meet. And where do you begin? Just a perfect, I mean, I used the word idyllic on Friday, and that couldn't have been a better term. It was so nice and so electric, the return to Saratoga on Friday, and everybody that was up, whether they just came for opening day, whether they came for opening weekend, or whether they're here for the full seven-week extravaganza, it was fantastic. And even through yesterday, where we had weather concerns, we still do today, but even through yesterday, where some rain came early, but it didn't KO the turf or make the featured Coaching Club American Oaks, it didn't interfere there. The only thing that interfered with that was anybody, including myself, that tried to beat Monomoy Girl, who ran her grade one win streak to four. Brad Cox will join us after the first break. Terrific start for Brad and those grade ones that were long overdue for him as a horseman. They're coming now with steady regularity. I guess I'll work backwards from yesterday, because as we focus on Saratoga, start things out, and we'll work our way west, where John Sadler overwhelmed the weekend. And, hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Catalina Cruiser. pretty clever, John Sadler. He'll join us in the second hour this morning. And so will Drayden Van Dyke, actually, who is the rider of the early stages out at Del Mar. Between the two stake wins for Sadler and the maiden, the smashing maiden horses that have made the biggest stir so far at Del Mar. We have all the same kinds of themes, of course, right here at Saratoga. And the highlight, in a lot of ways, was yesterday, and it really was a little unfortunate that the weather threat kept people away, and that was maybe the one damper, literally, after the early morning rain. And I think people assumed it was going to be a blustery day all day long. Instead, it got very nice before Monomoy Girl went out, and Florent Giroux wrestled the lead and wasn't taking any chances. And how often are we seeing now, you know, that mentality? Baffert, of course, adopts it and utilizes it. You got the best horse, the horse to beat, the horse with the target on its back. Don't put yourself on your heels or in a defensive position. And we'll talk to Mark Cassie today too. Cassie off to a very good start, and the two-year-old star filly of the weekend, undoubtedly that Catherine the Great for Jack Oxley on opening day. And that was impressive. And Cassie flirted with a sweep of the two-year-old stakes and had to settle for a win in a second. We'll talk to Mark, and I mentioned him because of Monomoy Girl making sure to be in front and control things up front, because Cassie wanted to do that with Geo Game. and it was not to be. So Gio Game tried to press and chase, and Monomoy girl gutted her and then had just no issues shrugging off any other interested parties, including Mike Smith and Midnight Bisou. So certainly Smith didn't make the trip east for naught, but you know, one of the themes yesterday was, oh, Mike Smith's coming for one ride. Well, yeah, he's got a pretty special horse that he's attached to there, and you can understand it. And of course, there's assignments down the road that might not include Monomoy Girl, but ultimately they're all going to, all of these three-year-old fillies and some of the elders that we'll see in the personal ensign and so forth, they're all going to gather at Churchill for the distaff. And Brad Cox, of course, has got some decisions to make. Do you run in the Alabama and then wait for the distaff, or do you wait for the cotillion at Philadelphia, stay at the mile and an eighth, and then be that much closer to the Breeders' Cup? I tend to think that that's what's going to happen, but either way, the three-year-old filly division feels like it is pretty much wrapped up with a bow. Justify for the boys and Monomoy Girl for the girls. And it felt like this was going to be the one opportunity, if there was going to be a challenge issued during the second half of the year for the three-year-old Philly Championship, this would have been the spot to, you know, to create an opening. And Monomoy Girl shut the door not once, not twice, about three times, and then jogged off. And as Brad Cox said after the race, the one thing about that win that makes him flirt with the Alabama is the way in which she finished. And what would be so shocking about another eighth of a mile after that wire? So we'll talk to Brad. The in-between action, how about the thrillers on Saturday? The stakes, back-to-back, Sommelier for Starlight, and the team that has had so much success over the years, not just at Saratoga, obviously, but everywhere. But that's a great way for Starlight and their partners. They were in full attendance. And Sommelier on the wire, nail strike silver. And for the Oxleys, who had action all three first days so far in the meet, as I said, a near sweep. And certainly Julien Leperoux rode the race. He needed to ride strike silver from, you know, from a little bit outside, turn back the Asmussen Bano Solo, who I tell you, the board, we're going to have to talk, but we'll talk more probably with Marshall Graham this week, and with Paul Matisse again this week. The tote action is a sidebar that is just, I don't know if it's a distraction or if it's a must discuss and must watch, but the movement and the computer-assisted wagering money that pours in, and you know, yesterday Monomoy Girl was about 1-2 in the multis, so it wasn't a complete surprise, but the amount of money that came in, 30% of the pool comes in, and 30% of the pool does come in the last couple of minutes, but it was a flood, and the money that was on Midnight Bisou early that had her at odds on, that was what was initially surprising. You knew that ultimately Monomoy Girl would prevail in the betting, but the same kind of movement was going on in that Sanford, where Bano Solo, I looked up at one point, and Bano Solo was favored. And ultimately, the money drifted all over the place. And it was that kind of a group. Sommelier little under 3-1. Strike Silver, 7-2. Bannasolo, little under 4-1. And Lexingtonian, 3-1. So you had four horses within, you know, a dollar. That kind of a, so that movement a little, you know, just gravitated where it gravitated and it kind of spread around. But ultimately, Sombayer goes off favored, and the one under 3-1. And that was a tough beat for the Oxleys, but a nice win for Todd Pletcher and Starlight. And then a half an hour later, you had another absolute harrowing photograph and thrilling stretch run. Ultra Brat, Rosario, patient behind Hawksmoor, moved at the right time, and here comes Sister Charlie, relentless. And John Velasquez with a very nice start to the meet. That win in the Grade 1 Diana, another Diana for Chad, and another second for Graham Motion in the Diana. That was the storyline, certainly, on Saturday. And two tremendously exciting races. I mean, that's been the best part, obviously, when you and exciting races can come in 25 claimers. But and the crowd gets just as excited for that as they do for the stake wins. But under that kind of glare, and the first Grade 1 of the meet, the Diana and Sister Charlie, who was certainly the right horse. The value on Ultra Brat was crazy. I mean, it was 15-1. Sister Charlie, a little over even money, 5-2 on Raving Beauty. Proctor's Ledge, who just kind of chased, really never mounted any real threat. New Money Honey looked poised for a while on the backstretch and into the turn, and then kind of backed up a little. But Sister Charlie, Ultra Brat, in a complete thriller, and looks like Sister Charlie will head to Chicago for the Beverly D. Lots of news on the assignment front going ahead. Of course, this week, Haskell, Sunday. Jim Dandy, Saturday. Curlin here on Friday. And they'll draw that today with lots of important horses and well-known horses that are intended. Bravazo, for instance, and Gronkowski news. Looks like Gronkowski back on track for a Travers assignment. The rest of Saturday, certainly got to mention Nitrous, because Strike Silver, when Nitrous won that maiden that was very closely watched, the sixth race, and Nitrous was terrific, went to the front under Ricardo Santana Jr. and just maintained control and built a bigger lead in the stretch. And you thought, all right, Nitrous, who was beaten by Strike Silver, all that does is further compliment Strike Silver, but wasn't to be. Nitrous will watch for down the road. Powerhouse partnership of Winchell and Stone Street. This was a tappet bred by Ron Winchell. And the horse that ran very well at a price. In fact, Nick Tamro talked, when we talked about this race on Friday, Nick mentioned Put the Glass Down. And, of course, our friend Al Gold, Al runs Floyd Unger today, named for Felix Unger's brother. Heckin' Al is too much. But Put the Glass Down, the brother of Al's very nice fixed income Larry, and he ran a terrific second in here at 19-1. So that's, you know, when you have a horse like Nitrous, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a price to hook up. That whole sequence late on Saturday, particularly, a bunch of things could have happened. That very typical Saratoga between call provision and Hello Don Julio's photo. Battle joined Battle Joint ran terrific race for Mark Hennig. And then the two photographs between Sister Charlie and Ultra Brad and Sambaye and Strike Silver. And that, any of those races, you could have had all different results into a pick five and pick four that paid handsomely. And there were lots of tales of woe. I got the sense yesterday, listening to some people talk about Saturday around the track, there were some people talking to themselves after that sequence. Back to Friday, and Meat got off to a very nice start. Mentioned Catherine the Great. She was just overpowering. Nona Madeline, this was, of course, the Schuylerville, the first traditional first stake of the year. And Nona Madeline now, we talked about this yesterday with Rich Migliore and Seth on TV. She's now had trouble. I wonder if she's going to be one of these types that, you know, finds trouble for herself. And in this case, just kind of was off a beat slow. And it took her a little bit to work her way up against Catherine the Great, but Catherine the Great shrugged her right off, and a big fig here, 84 buyer for Catherine the Great. And George Weaver, who we'll talk to, we had George on TV yesterday. George will win typically 11 races a meet. And he got his meet off to a terrific start, winning the Lake George. Daddy is a legend for Jim and Susan Hill. Looking forward to seeing the Hills Thursday night. Emceeing the Unbridled Affair, the Captain Gala Thursday at the Holiday Inn. CaptainCares.org. There's a couple of tables left. Happy to have, if you're coming to town. And if you're not going to Andy's show, I realized at some point over the weekend, I'm competing with Andy's show. But the Hills, Daddy is a legend, and you know, she was ridden like she was the best, and the pace scenario was not going to be an issue. Manny Franco. This is now a graded stake winner at 2 and 3, and she's going to look to the end of the meet and the Lake Placid, the traditional, the Proctor's Ledge double. Terrific start on Friday to the meet. Brad Cox is going to join us first. Drayden Van Dyke's going to visit. Sadler, Johnny D, Cassie, and much, much more as we wade through the action. $69,000 carryover here at Saratoga. Somehow, there wasn't a winner over $20 at Saratoga, and there's a carryover. There were three crazy winners at Del Mar. No carryover for Wednesday. Back after this, we'll start it with Brad Cox at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Forms best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. 'Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night. I build a home and wait for someone to tear it down. Then pack it up in boxes, head for the next town. 'Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night. I've got no roots, but my home was never on the ground. I've got no roots, but my home was never on the ground. I've got no roots. I've got no roots.
We're back at the races. I've got no roots, but my just getting going on this Monday. Looking at the weekend action, Del Mar and Saratoga, of course, well underway. Saratoga, day four today, and the 5 days that start the Del Mar meet in the books. Brad Cox joining us, and speaking of in the books, he's got 12 graded stake wins on the year, and the long-awaited grade one came earlier. Now suddenly there's five grade ones, so making up for lost time, and four of those belong to the streaking Monomoy girl who just keeps answering any questions that anybody might have. A delirious winner's circle with that performance yesterday where she left no doubt. Brad Cox, congratulations.
Good morning. Thanks, Steve. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. I couldn't help last night. We went to dinner, Siaka and the son Bobby and Tina and I, and I went through my photographs, and I saw that picture of you holding the antique Coaching Club American Oaks trophy, and you had like this boyish grin. Yeah, like, look at this. Cool. Look at this thing they gave me.
No, we don't get that trophy. I asked. Because that's just the one that represents the race. So.
No, exactly.
It was really awesome experience.
And she's become everything that was said by you and said by Liz Crowe and Saul Kuhlman and everybody that has had their hands on this filly from day one, and I heard those mutterings. Wow, she's special, and this was one of those no doubt about it's that she looked like a winner every step.
Yeah, no, it worked out really well. Ron, kind of, that was our game plan to, you know, ask her to run away from there a little bit. He did a great job establishing position, and you know. Seems like she got a little breather down the backside and was able to, you know, press on around the turn and down the lane. It was a big effort. She looked good this morning. Very pleased with how she looked. She was tired, deservedly so, but it was a big effort, and you know, she shows up for us every time. Very proud of her.
Much was made, of course, about the way the field shaped up and was going to distill down to a Monomoy versus Midnight matchup, and Midnight made a Midnight creeping up off the turn. What? And you said you took control, and that took the game away from Geo game. Cassie was hopeful that she could get the lead, and you were having none of that. But take us around, and you know, what watching Midnight Bizou, I'm sure, on the backstretch, knowing that Smith would come calling at some point.
It looked like at the half-mile pole, maybe just inside the half-mile pole, maybe tried to make a little bit of a run at her, and he did inch closer, and, you know, obviously at the top of the lane, I think Larry Colmus does a great job of, you know, just, you can listen to the way he's calling the race, and, you know, like you said, it set up quarter pole, looked like she had aim at us, and, you know, it looked like there was going to be a battle down the lane, but we really had a little left, and John did a good job of leaving a little in reserve, and, you know, chicken away late.
Well, exactly, and strode down the lane, and, you know, not to jump right ahead to the Alabama question, but you did say in the winner's circle afterward that the way she finished would give you some confidence if you wanted to go a 10th panel.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I think there's been some made out, you know, distant limitations with her as far as your pedigree goes, and, you know, Henny Hughes on the bottom, but Beholder could get a mile. At least she won a grade one going a mile on Twitter, and she was a Henny Hughes. And, I'm not comparing her to Beholder, but I'm just talking about pedigree standpoint.
Sure.
So, but, you know, the question really comes down to how she's going to come out of the race and, you know, what she'll look like over the next week. Right now, probably stick to our original plan, look at the Cotillion, but we'll talk with Saul and Mike Dubb and Stuart Grant kind of come up with a game plan. But, you know, original plan is here, Cotillion, Breeders' Cup. And, you know, as of right now, I think that is the plan. But the Alabama is, you know, it's a possibility.
The interesting quotient in this is not avoiding the 10 furlong, but as you said, you already have had a very full campaign with her, and you only want to run once before the distaff. And so in terms of planning and proximity, taking a freshening now and running Cotillion distaff, that's just the logical next steps.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a really, obviously, it's a great purse at Parks, and then you're trying to set up for, you know, ultimately a $2 million race. The goal the rest of the year would be, you know, the Breeders' Cup, not the Alabama, really not the Cotillion. Obviously, if we go into the Cotillion well, we draw well, we would expect to win it. But, you know, trying to take a shot against all, you know, it'd obviously be, Breeders' Cup would be the first time against older horses for older filly mares, and, you know, we would definitely need one, probably the best race of her life in order to get it done against these older mares that are out there that are very good, and Unique Ballet with Hatton and then a couple others. So we would definitely need an A-plus effort out of her, you know, in order to get that. I just think right now probably, you know, definitely one race, and, you know, as far as the calendar goes, the Cotillion makes sense.
You know, I'm looking down at her PPs, and as these wins begin to pile up, you're going to have to face the questions that Baffert faced with American Pharoah, which is, how did she get beat in the Golden Rod?
Yeah. yeah, you know, obviously, she was still green, still learning, fortunately, her career. You know, there's a couple thing. You know, we don't know. If you go back and watch a replay, it was a very... You know, the sun was setting at a funny angle that day. It was the sun was actually sitting, and it was kind of pointing right on the racetrack. You know, there's some belief that I have a guy from the gate crew come to me and tell me that, you know, could have been the sun hitting her in the ass. Well, I kind of thought that maybe she didn't respond to being whipped as, you know, as well as maybe she should have or whatnot. But, you know, for whatever reason, she ran a big race that day. I think if she does run straight and digs in, and is a little more focused, she does get the job done that day. But you know what? I was telling someone a month or so ago, you know, I'm okay with her having, you know, not being undefeated. I mean, I guess if you look back and end of her career, maybe, you know, hopefully she'll be undefeated, retired, having only lost the one race. But, you know, I think it makes it a little more pressure-free when you're running her that she's not undefeated. So that's, you know, my take on it. We can't change that. And, yeah, she, like you said, she's a neck away from being undefeated, which, you know, really amazing.
Well, watching you ring up these wins, talk about what feels like a pretty magical season, and we're, you know, halfway through month seven.
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable year. I mean, it's just a testament to the staff we have in place at each division. We have a great staff between Ricky Giannini, Jorge Abreu, Tessa Bisha, and Dustin Dugas in New York. So we have a, you know, a great staff in place, and all these guys do a great job, you know, for the right information with each horse. We got it's team effort, good riders, good rooms in place, and it's a team effort, and everybody does a great job.
Before we talk about the rest of the meet and some other spots Saratoga-wise, I want to include something you mentioned yesterday, too, because you said that 15 minutes before the Oaks, Majestic Affair had won the Good Lord at Ellis, and Sean Bridgemahan aboard, and you let it out that Majestic Affair had been the workmate of Monomoy Girl. This came up a little bit on TV yesterday, and I'd love you to talk about it in terms of pairing horses, and, you know, when you've got a big talent and, you know, you want to test them, you want to get them ready for an assignment, it can be difficult if you've got a huge talent that is willing to really work in the morning. How do you determine? And obviously a horse like Majestic Affair, you know, is a rock solid type.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do have the luxury of having several horses training, so, you know, we can go through the charts. You know, obviously, that's not something you just wake up on last Sunday morning, and I thought, oh, I'll just work Majestic Affair with Monomoy Girl. It's something that I kind of had in place for maybe, you know, a couple weeks, kind of pointing, this when I want a breezer, this is who I'd like to breezer with. And, I had a couple other options that last Sunday that I was thinking of breezing her with, and I just thought he would really fit well with her. He's a horse that, you know, if you breeze him by himself, you may not get exactly what you're looking for. And we were coming into the stake, and I wanted a good work in him. I wanted a good work in her. He's pretty push button, do whatever the rider wants, and I just thought this match up really well with her. He galloped out extremely well with her. It looked like she was kind of edging away from him. Maybe just past the wire last week, but then on the gallop out, he stayed right with her. So, we got what we needed out of both of them. I felt like we did in the work, and then obviously it worked out well with both of them yesterday. But he's a very nice horse. We think a lot of him. There was some discussion about possibly bringing him up here and offering him for a tag, and just kind of thought, we talked it over with the team and just kind of thought that, that race was there, and let's go after that. We just made that decision a few weeks ago to attack, point for that race, and it worked out really well. But he's a nice, tough horse. Chad had him for a good while and did a tremendous job with him, and we got him last year and just freshened him up a little bit and brought him back this year. We actually gave him the winter off and brought him back, and he's rewarded us really well.
Well, and a good day yesterday, in fact, in addition to the win in the stake, managed to win another two out of three tries. So three wins yesterday at Ellis. Let's dig in a little bit and talk about the start of the meet beyond Monomoy Girl. And it's always great, you know, for any outfit to win a race like the Oaks, to get the meet, everybody smiling. But you had already won the turf move with Jess I Am on Saturday. And that, you had to kind of speculate a little bit, and then the way the race unfolded really, you know, made it easy for Ron, actually, in the end.
Jess I Am in training well. He we had him in Kentucky and just shipped him over to Belmont a few weeks ago, and he'd been training well there on the Belmont training track. And he Clark put him in a great position, and he had his head down. But that horse always makes it interesting. Whenever he's winning, he doesn't win by a very large margin. And kind of what I told Florent, he said, you got to, you know, you got to really finish strong on him, because he, not that he's given up, he gives you all he has. He's a very nice horse. He seems to be just, you know, lacks a little turn of foot, but he gives you what he's got, and you're in a big race horse.
Well, you feel poised at the meet for, you know, for a very good summer. Today, the claimer going in the fifth. We got Zorzor.
They're off the turf. They're off the
turf. They are off the turf now?
Yeah.
All right.
They
hadn't
are
heard.
Off the turf. I believe it's exception of the stake.
Yeah, the caress. They got to keep the caress on, because it came up terrific.
Yeah, Zorzor, we liked. You know, we thought he would run well today, but obviously off the turf, we're going to scratch.
All right. Well, then let's look ahead and maybe get a little Morrissey glance looking ahead to Thursday and Celtic Chaos.
Hey, he's doing good. We picked this horse up earlier in the spring, and he's, you know, coming off a layoff. Really not a lot of options right now out there for him other than this race as far as New York Reds. So, you know, he's doing extremely well. We'll see what happens. We have Eric Consell riding him. He's gets along really well with the horse, so hopefully he can get the job done.
Yeah, and let's maybe get a quick glance the fortnight coming up, and you know, some of the notable players, and we haven't talked 2 year olds much with you yet. What are we looking toward?
Well, right now I don't have any 2 year olds slated to run in the first book. I'm hoping that we're going to start shipping a few up in Kentucky. We normally keep them in Kentucky and let them kind of prove to us down there that they're New York caliber. And hopefully in book 2 and 3, we'll be a little more active with the 2 year olds. But right now, we don't have anything scheduled for book 1. It's Saratoga.
Well, and some of the other notable names that we've been discussing all season. The stake calendar picking up steam. Who else are we going to see here the next couple of weeks?
Well, we have Will Call and Long on Value are both being pointed for the Troy. I believe, August 5th. And then we have Tiger Moth possible for the Shoe V, depending on how that comes up. But she's obviously back in training and doing well. And it's possible we can maybe bring up Mr. Misunderstood for a stake later in the meet. Kelly Hume is possible for the test. And a couple other things later in the meet. But that's kind of what we're looking at right now.
Excellent. Well, then let's go out of town for a minute. And you've got a first-time starter at Indiana on Wednesday. One Smart Princess, a Smart Bid.
Yeah. I don't know much about the stallion, but she's trained in Washington, Indiana bred, obviously. And, you know, I think she should be effective. She's been training decent in the morning. So hopefully she can make a good showing.
I think Smart Bid was Graham, I think. It was Graham Motion, if I'm not mistaken. Well, and the most important question, you're not going to let Marshall Graham leave town without a winner's circle photo, are you?
I hope not. I hope not. Yeah, he's up here. He's come up the last 2 years and spent a couple weeks. So they really both got some 10 strike, really like this. So it's a really, really, you know, great time for them to get together and hang out at the races for a few weeks.
Is there a 10 strike starter before by Sunday next week?
I don't think I have one slated right now. At Indiana, we have Son of a Saint. I believe he's in tomorrow. So, you know, as long as to stay on the turf, he'll run up at Indiana. But he's got an iPhone, so he can watch it. So he can, you know, win a race in Saratoga. Just won't be at Saratoga
<that's>,
right now.
that's an asterisk. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's funny because I was at Oaklawn. I was at Oaklawn when he won the stake at Aqueduct. That was so.
Right.
That's a little, that was the, that's a very similar scenario. And we're going to talk to Marshall this week before he leaves town. Brad, we'll talk to you undoubtedly at least a couple more times before you leave town. Congratulations, Monomoy girl, a smashing win coaching Club American Oaks.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
You got it. Brad Cox, everybody. And you follow Brad on Twitter, Brad Cox Racing, and the whole team. Just there was a that was a beaming, not that any winner circle's not going to be beaming, but that was a particularly gleeful assembly down in down for the photos. Time out here. We'll come back with Mark Cassie and talk about Cassie and a little bit of everything already for the Cassie team, including the stake win opening day to get the meet going. Catherine the Great, and she was better than great. The harrowing loss the next day in the Sanford. The Oxleys in attendance, and Debbie Oxley got herself a win with Chocolate Kisses. That's right, the Chocolate Kisses. So Jack's got one, Debbie's got one. And Jack Oxley was funny. He was very they ran that entry, and Jack said, "Well, I'm glad you know Jack's horse finished third, Debbie's horse won." And he said, "This makes for a happy household." That she gets that win. Mark Cassie joins us next, and I appreciate Brad with the up to the minute news on turf today. So. And I've laid off. I was waiting to do anything. I tried the same thing yesterday, not knowing if we were going to be off the turf. So the first impact of weather on the meet, so you can take races 2, 4, 5, 7, 9. 2, 4, 5, 7, 9 off the turf. I take that back. The 7th is the stake, so the 7th stays on. All right? 7th stays on. The Caress, which is good. Hell of a race. Rusty Arnold in there with Morticia. And Rusty almost, he almost got a winner here opening weekend. Yesterday got beaten the nightcap by Bobby Roboto. Mark Keller. Quaff. I'm going to quaff some coffee. And be back with Cassie. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. 15 to the top. Johnny D. We'll get Johnny in for probably about 15 today because Drayden Van Dyke is going to be available at Del Mar working horses. And got to talk to DVD because he is absolutely off to a smashing start. And, you know, in addition to the stake wins for John Sadler, he also has landed the two hottest maiden special two-year-olds between Brill and Mother Mother. So we'll check in with Drayden Van Dyke this morning as well, and then Sadler actually to follow. And speaking of West Coast and jocks, let's mention the injury sustained yesterday that is going to keep Victor Espinoza on the ground. And in training, during the training session, really sad, Bobby Abu Dhabi, the nice sprinter, had a cardiac incident. And when he went down, obviously Espinoza with him. And Espinoza's got a C3 vertebrae fracture. So he got a stinger, too. They called it a stinger anyway, in his left arm. But that, that's going away. Brett Beach, his agent, mentioned it. And this is tough. And we'll see how they stabilize and what the treatment, course of treatment is going to be for Victor. But hard to know, actually. If not going to, no point in speculating, but this is not an area. Rich Migliori will tell you. In fact, Rich came up yesterday, in fact, when Rich was on TV with us. Not an area you take a chance with. So we'll see what this means long term. And best wishes to Victor Espinoza. And of course, his nephew, Asa, riding well. And, in fact, both of the Bugs seem to be making it happen and beginning of the meet. Now, speaking of making things happen, I got to mention 97-year-old Jerry Bozzo at Gulfstream. Bozzo extending his own longevity mark and remarkable accomplishment. He passed Noble Trewitt a couple of years ago with a win when he was 96, and now follows up a win at 97, and that came Saturday, gusty wind with Luca Panici, and he actually was home. He didn't come to the track, but was watching at home. And of course, the World War II veteran, and we had Jerry on a couple of years ago, and pretty cool. Mark Cassie is with us, and we got a chance to catch up with Mark, who had a very robust start to the meet. It started on Friday when Jack Oxley's Catherine the Great not only posted herself as a top two-year-old filly to contend with going forward, but also a big mark for Uncaptured as a stallion. And, Mark, congratulations to you and to Jack, and we'll get to Debbie, too.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to say the record I want to break is Mr. Bozzo's record.
I love it. That's forward-thinking.
That one's not going to be That one's not going to be easy to do.
I love it. Well, you certainly had an impact here in the opening 72 hours of the meet, Mark, and you came up, one of the stories that we're going to have to follow this meet and is an evolving story is the Gulfstream season going beyond the winter, trainers like yourself, George Weaver, Todd Pletcher, and many more leaving horses there past April 30th and or March 30th even. This is a horse that came out of Gulfstream, caught slop both times. You kind of wondered what you were going to get on a dry, fast track. Talk about coming into the Schuylerville with Catherine the Great.
I'm just so proud of Catherine the Great for so many reasons. First, of course, being by Uncaptured, who I trained for Mr. Oxley. So that made it special. Other thing that made it really special was, I don't know how much you know about it or everybody knows, but about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I went in and I revamped our training center, and my wife and I put a lot of money and effort into it. And so this is our first kind of year to get it up and running at full tilt. And Catherine the Great was one of our first, our first two-year-old to actually run off, just off the farm. We sent her down to run, I believe it was the day before. I know Mitch Downs, who's been with me for 37 years, I believe. He got her ready there in Ocala, and we sent her down. And you're right. We like the new Gulfstream meet. The purses are great. I think when she broke her maiden, she got $40,000+ for breaking her maiden. And as to was I worried about her running on the dirt? No, we knew. I mean, without the mud, we had seen her in action on plenty of occasions, so we kind of felt like she was special all along.
Well, this being inside was another part of the equation, and how much of that played into the way you basically took control early and just turned back every challenge.
Yeah, that was more of a factor and a worry than the actual dry track. The one hole up makes us have to play our hand. That morning I said to Jose, I said, the only thing I really don't want to do, I said, I know you got to get away from there, but it drives me crazy. I've seen so many Schuylervilles where three or four horses go at it, and they'll go 5/8 of a mile in 58. And, 3/4 and 12. And I didn't want that. I don't like my horses. For one, I want them to try to learn to relax a little bit because we're always trying to look at running farther. But that was the only thing we said. Well, we'll try not to, do that. And he got her away from there. And when they went to 21-4, I said, oh, dear goodness. But she just kept running, which was, a testimony to her greatness.
literally.
Yeah,
and there was no getting to her. And you bring up the pace scenario because Nick Tamaro and I were talking on Friday, and Nick discussed that, as you're suggesting, the Schuylerville collapse scenario that we're familiar with, with horses running late. And I was watching the clock and considering the way Tapping Pearl got off, I thought, well, maybe she can rally, but there was no getting horses from the back of the field,
Tapping Pearl got cut up pretty good. She had a rough trip, nearly clipped heel. So we're gonna give her a mulligan for that one. But I thought the same thing. I really felt like I knew Catherine the Great would be up close, and I thought, if anything, if the pace got too hot, it would help Tapping Pearl or Eye in the Sky. But, she just kept running, and then the final time, I didn't know it at the time, but I guess the fastest time since 1988. So there's been some some pretty good fillies running the Schuylerville in that period of time, and for her to run faster than any of them means, you know, it's something.
You should mention a couple of points here. I guess the first question is spin away, go ahead and wait now, and
oh, most definitely. I mean, if in the perfect world, I could see her going to the spin away, then probably the Alcibiades. The Alcibiades has been good to us, and then, you know, hopefully they're going to be playing at our house this year for the Breeders' Cup.
Very much. And I also want to mention, because, of course, Uncaptured, you know, standing in Florida, and the presence of one of the co-breeders. And, you know, this was, I guess, her first trip to Saratoga, Wendy Crist, and she was beside herself to be there on opening day at the spa and see her horse that she produced, OBS yearling purchase, for $170,000, and already fulfilling any.
Yeah, isn't that? It wasn't that great. It was, yeah, to have Wendy there, and you know, I think sometimes we often forget about how much is put into the preparation and getting these, you know, young horses ready, and from, you know, hear Wendy breathing and take. You know, it was just. It's amazing. It's a good feeling. I was kidding somebody. I said, well, we just gave Christmas in July to Ocala, because there's a lot of uncaptured babies out there right now. And I'm sure that anybody that had one was watching, you know, hoping, because he's gotten these beautiful looking foals, and now they just need to show that they can run, and I think that was a big step. So I told my brother John, I said, I could maybe run for mayor and win, because the voting was today.
I love it. Well, you mentioned the other two fillies that ran. We should also, before we talk about Saturday, we should mention Heavenly Love for Debbie Oxley, too, in the Lake George.
Yeah, that was disappointing. She's still a big head scratcher. We had thought about, we're going to give her another try or two. I don't know when it'll be, but I really felt like she was sitting on a really big race, but just never really got involved. And I don't have a good explanation for you.
And one's not necessary. They work on her, watch her in the mornings, and figure out what you got to go, what you got to go to do next with her. Let's talk about Saturday.
Say, yeah, the puzzles, right? We always got to figure them out.
Exactly. And they can't tell you. They can't sit down with you over coffee. The Sanford. I had to figure you were feeling good when Nitrous won the way he did, breaking his maiden, and of course second to Strike Silver. At Churchill, and talk about the Sanford try.
Actually, Steve, I was feeling pretty darn good until about 50 yards from the wire.
Yeah.
We broke running, and I loved her post position. When you see Julian Leperoux up on the lead, turning, you know, at the 5/16 part of the quarter pole, you can just bet that he's got horse, because he hasn't push the button to get there yet. And so I felt really confident, you know, but Todd's horse ran a big race. He ran us down. I think our colt kept running. We were second best.
Not a disappointment. I mean, disappointing, but not
disappointing.
You know,
would have been, you know, to win those, you know, as a young boy, I've been coming to Saratoga since I was like 6 or 7 years old, and my entire life has been thoroughbred horses and racing, and those races have been in my vocabulary, in my mind, since I was a little boy. So it would have been wonderful to win the two races, but I'm very proud of what we accomplished, and again, I feel like a lot of it goes to Mitch Downs in the training center, because you're seeing all these young, you know, chocolate kisses yesterday. They're all, it's not just what happened yesterday. It's months and months and months of preparation and all that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the win by chocolate kisses, and I know that considering that Jack Oxley had gotten his win on Friday, he was not disappointed that Debbie beat him in that race with chocolate kisses.
No, not at all. I think that was probably good.
Right? He said it's good for the it's good for the household.
Yeah. Even my 15-year-old son said to me afterwards, that worked out well. Probably best that Debbie won, and Mrs. Oxley won instead of Mr. Oxley. That's what he's 15 and he's figured that out.
Well, the Oxleys as important to the game as any owners, and
no,
it's great to have.
I have to tell you, I pinch myself all the time to have the Oxleys, to have Mrs. Weber, and I mean, there's not a bigger and better player than Gary Barber. We had a nice winter this weekend for him, and
yep.
I'm just one lucky guy.
Well, let's talk about Gary Barber for a minute, and let's get Canada in, because there's a fairly developing story with Got Stormy, and three wins in a row now between the Penn Oaks and the Wild Applause, and now the Grade 3 Ontario Colleen and Patrick Husbands, and boy, she ran like a 3-5 shot.
She did. Very seldom do they do, but I would have to agree with you. She looked like 3-5 the other day. Patrick and I had talked, and I said, Patrick, just if you push the button, just know that you've only got about an eighth of a mile and 3/16 of a mile to run in her. And we found that out by some great rides by Tyler Gaffione on her. But this filly's getting a lot of confidence. She's a true, she's a real example of when a horse gets on a roll and wins, and you get them into a pattern. I've said it many times, I like running my horses. You'll see I run them, and I think it's a plus when you can get them into a pattern and run them, and she's a prime example of that. And she seems to be getting better and better. If all goes well, she's going to go out and visit Gary in California at Del Mar.
For the Oaks.
Yeah, we won it last year with Dream Dance, and we're going to try to repeat this year.
Well, and George Weaver actually is going to weigh a trip out west himself with his filly, with Daddy is a Legend, that or the Lake Placid, and we'll see about that. But Get Stormy, there's another potential emergent stallion story with Get Stormy, and You're ringing up all kinds of successes. Let's stay in Canada for tomorrow. And Gary Barber, Wonder Godot. And we can, of course, combine her story in with what happened yesterday. You tried Monomoy Girl with Geo Game. But let's start with Wonder Godot tomorrow in the Prince of Wales.
Yeah, what can I say about her? She's truly Wonder Woman. Training extremely well. Through a little bit of a tough post, but I don't think that should be a problem. Johnny and I him and I have a date tomorrow. We're flying together to Fort Erie. Fort Erie's a fun place. It's a beautiful little place. It's a great little racetrack, and it's been good to me over the years, and I hope that continues. By the way, Uncaptured won the Prince of Wales some time ago.
That's right. That's right.
He did.
We talked about that at the time.
Yeah, Uncaptured's quite a horse. He broke his maiden going 4.5 furlongs, and he won up to a mile and 3/16, so he could kind of do it all, as can Wonder Godot. And so we're hoping a good performance tomorrow. She'll make her way to Saratoga for the Alabama if all goes well.
Well, it is kind of funny. Obviously, first competition comes from ahead by a century, John Ross, but you wouldn't necessarily have expected that you'd come across Mike Tomlinson at Fort Erie, because home base is kind of lurking, and I think is the right price horse to consider in here as a third option.
I believe he's the horse to beat. I believe we are the horse to beat, but if there was one horse, because he's the only horse besides ours that actually had some dirt form.
Exactly.
So, and that horse has run some big races at times. So, if you said to me, Mark, you get to pick one and eliminate it, which one would you eliminate? It would be that one.
Well, looking forward to tomorrow and the action at Fort Erie, 7:38 post for the second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. And Mark, before we let you go, and we are off the turf today, let's look ahead to what's going on at Saratoga. And actually, you got some maiden specials popping up all over the place coming up later in the week. Devious Charm, this comes on Thursday.
Yes. Devious Charm is a real head scratcher. I think she's talented. I thought her first race was good. Her second race, when she ran poorly, she actually, that after the race, she acted strange after the race, and I don't think you saw the real her. I then sent her after a conversation with Tracy. I said I want to send her back home and just, see where we're at with her, because I've been disappointed in her. And we got her back home in Ocala and trained her. She trained so good. I called him. I said, I'm sending her to Saratoga. So I'll be really disappointed if she doesn't. I'm not telling you for sure she's going to win, but I'd be shocked if you don't see a big performance out of her.
Nice.
And you wouldn't think so looking at her form.
No, that's all right. That's why we ask about these types. And I also want to mention Wednesday at Woodbine. You've got those kinds of races that the trainers go to racing secretaries, and if it's not in the book, they ask for things like this: a mile and a quarter on the grass, maiden special. So these are the horses that the exercise rider gets off and says, "Boss, he'll run all day." That's what you got.
I didn't ask for it. It was there. there's some, they've been disappointing, those two. We're fortunate. You see a lot of our successes. Those two have been disappointments. But hopefully, they find a place they fit, and hopefully one of them get it done on Wednesday.
I'm talking about Mo G for Gary Barber and Special Forces, which is a Barber-Oxley combo candy ride gelding that, has run, certainly has run better as a three-year-old. And those races in Kentucky were okay. It feels like he's the one that
he's a first-time gelding. Oh, that
helps. Maybe
that'll help.
Very nice. Well, Mark, it's going to be a parade of runners from the Cassie Barn. And we should tell everybody, one of the secrets, Chocolate Kisses, in fact, one of the secrets is an exercise rider that is back in Saratoga, a young one. And we're talking about Declan Carroll, Davey Carroll and Kim's son, and it's so great to have him around, Mark.
He's a fine young man. They've both done a great job of raising him. He's got a big future, it's just a pleasure to have him around, and I'm expecting big things from him.
Well, he was beaming, and I said, "Do you get on Chocolate Kiss?" He says, "Oh yeah." And he's going to ride in the afternoons, is he not? In the fall.
This is what I hear. That's the rumor.
He's got that wiry McCarthy Migliore frame.
I think we better get him riding soon.
He's going to get tall.
Oh yeah.
I love it, Mark. Great start to the meet, and expect that, like I said, to Brad Cox, probably going to talk a few times. Good luck tomorrow night. Safe travels with you and Johnny up to.
I want to say, what a tremendous job Brad's done with Monomoy Girl. I mean, she is one heck of a filly. Our plan was to try to make the lead yesterday, but we couldn't get it. So, she is just amazing. So we're hoping maybe to try her another day with Wonder Gadot, but she is amazing. So,
well, probably an appointment down the road. I would guess that either Cotillion or Distaff.
I know going in they had said they weren't going to run in the Alabama, but given the ease of her victory yesterday, it doesn't look like a mile and a quarter is going to be a problem. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them maybe change their mind there, but we'll see.
Well, no matter what, the 3-year-old fillies, the whole division has come to hand here in short order, and whether it's the ones that had established themselves or the late arrivals, she's a Julie, and of course Red Ruby, middle part of the year now, has stamped herself for Kellen Gorder, and it really is shaping up. No matter which 3-year-olds, no matter how you shuffle the deck, Mark, the 3-year-old fillies, they're shouldering the sophomore burden right now with the Triple Crown winner sideline.
I agree. And we're just getting ready. I don't know if you remember, but I had filly win the war that she ran the fastest by her of any 2-year-old filly in last year. And then I took her out to California. She was third to Midnight the Zoo, and she got hurt in that race. And she is going to make her first start back this year in the Duchess at Woodbine in about 2 weeks. And I think you're going to see something very special there as well.
Awesome. Mark that down. All right. You're rolling. Mark
very
Cassie,
good.
Everybody.
Have
Thanks,
a
Mark.
Day.
You too. Mark E. Cassie, everybody. And that's how you follow him on Twitter. Headed to Fort Erie tomorrow, across the river in Buffalo. I'd love to get to a Prince of Wales. I've driven by Fort Erie many times. It looks adorable. It's one of those little, it's sort of like sitting right there off the side of the highway. Cassie, really, as he said, with that roster of owners, Charlotte Weber, the Oxleys, Gary Barber, and many, many more. Should be a good summer. Let's take a timeout. Johnny D is going to join us. Drayden Van Dyke, 11:30. He's working horses, and so things worked out perfectly. I was a one-handed juggler trying to get the schedule together. So Johnny D joins us now, and I told everybody Tina wanted to play Fun in the Sun. And she went five of the first six. And she was, I think she was as high as eighth when I checked the standings. After one of the races at Del Mar, she said, how many of the Del Mar races have run? I said, I think two. I said, so I pull up the standings, and she was eighth. And I was like, oh, my God, this is great. But she missed races 7 and 8. Then she hit the ninth. And she missed the 10th. And you can't miss. You can maybe miss one race or two when it comes to Fun in the Sun. But round one of the summer contest series on ExpressBet in the books. She's raring to go. There's a big prize at the end. I said, but you got to, you're going to have to rack up some numbers. Johnny D joins us. We'll talk about the opening weekend from the Spa and from the Seaside Oval after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.